Welcome to Veteran Voices, where we amplify the stories of those who've served in the U.S. Armed Forces. Presented by Supply Chain Now and the Guam Human Rights Initiative, we dive deep into the journeys of veterans and their advocates, exploring their insights, challenges, impact, and the vital issues facing veterans and their families. Here's your host, U.S. Army veteran, Mary Kate Saliba.
Hello, everyone. It is Mary Kate Saliba, your host here for Veteran Voices. Veteran Voices is a podcast where we interview veterans who are serving beyond the uniform. So just a quick programming note before we get started. I'm really excited to introduce our guest today. But we are a podcast, a part of the Supply Chain Now family. Of Supply Chain is one of the leading supply chain podcasts out there. And Veteran Voices is proud to be part of the Supply Chain Now family. Again, we are gearing up for an incredible season of episodes. So stay tuned and welcome back to those of you who continue to tune into Veteran Voices. And welcome if this is your first time tuning in. And you can get these podcasts wherever you get your podcasts from. Now, without further ado, I'm excited to introduce a veteran sister of mine, Army veteran, Lori Pimentel Johnson. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. I believe you're tuning in from Texas, is that right?
Yes, Mary, and thank you so much for the invitation.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. I know we've been trying to sort of make this happen, and I'm glad we're finally making it happen.
Yes.
Rain or shine, just glad to have you on the show. And again, we're going to be talking about The Key and some other incredible organizations that you're working with right now. I'd love to kick off the show, as I always do, with motivation, pumping them up. And I always say, like, if you want to sing out a cadence, you're welcome to. But if you could pump us up with a favorite motivational quote, I'm all for it.
So one of my personal quotes that I use and I love to share with others, just show up. It doesn't matter if it's a job fair, if it's a workshop, if it's an event, a networking event, just show up because you don't know what can happen. But so that's my personal quote that I love to help motivate a lot of the folks that I assist. But the one that I want to share with everybody is Brené Brown. And her quote is, vulnerability is about showing up and being seen. It's tough to do that when we are terrified about what people might see or think. So with that, you know, we got to drop that, let it go. If you're out there job searching and looking for your next career, just show up. That's all you got to do is just show up. Give it 5-10 minutes. If it's not your cup of tea, you can leave. So.
No, that's true. I know from a loved one of mine, he ended up showing up at a job to go start out as like a front desk person. And the person that was actually running their books ended up not showing up to work and then decided just to quit abruptly. And they told him, can you just sit in this seat, right, until we find somebody? And he ended up doing so well that he got the job. He ended up moving up so quickly and ended up getting a job that he didn't have previous training, but he just showed up, even though it wasn't his first job pick, showed up and it ended up being an incredible career opportunity for him. And so totally love that quote. I think you're the first one to bring that one up for us and sharing with our listeners. So thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely.
I'd love to again, you know, love having you here as a veteran sister, also Army veteran. I, of course, interview from all different walks of life, different branches, but a special shout out, of course, you being Army. Would love to take it back a little bit and just start, but prior to you joining the Army, about your upbringing, sort of some of the influences there, and tell us where you grew up.
So my parents were divorced. I grew up in two different states, Hawaii, I know, what a bummer, and California, Northern California. So those two great states is where I grew up. It was tough being, you know, back and forth between parents, but I also had a great upbringing. So That's where I grew up.
And I say, what did you have influences? I know you said two different states. Were you near military bases at all? Did you grow up in base housing, military family at all? Or was it sort of different, completely separate from military upbringing? Unlike me,
That's
where I actually grew up in Navy housing, so I was surrounded by a military like from the my first breath, so to speak.
so I am like one of the first generations in the last couple of generations in my family that joined the service. So
Oh,
when I was ready to join the service, I called my dad and told him what I was going to do. And I was afraid because, again, we didn't come from a military background. And his only advice to me was, you only live life once. Go and do it now because you're not going to have a chance to come back and do it again. So do it now because you may not be able to have this decision or choice 20, 30 years down the road. So I did join the service. I joined from Fort DeRussy in Honolulu, Hawaii. So Honolulu is my home of record. So I didn't really have a military influence. I grew up as a tomboy, and so I guess I
I
kind
see.
of gravitated to having more of what my family would have seen as a masculine type of career field.
Right.
But once I joined it, I absolutely loved being in the Army.
No, oh, I love that. And it's sort of what you said with not having that military influence. Do you come from a big family? Is it with just you and going back with your parents? Do you have a lot of siblings? Just curious about that, the influence coming from big family.
So my family was kind of small. I have two brothers, two younger brothers. And so when we think I had a large extended family, we were all distant families. In Hawaii, so I'm Filipino Portuguese, and in Hawaii is where a lot of my Filipino family is. And so they're really big and very close. And but I didn't really always grow up with them because I did a lot of back and forth from California to Hawaii. So then I had my dad's side of the family, which was Portuguese, and they're also really big. But we were so far apart, so we didn't always have like those close family gatherings. So I consider myself coming from a smaller size family.
Yeah, and I like the cultural dynamics are super interesting as well, right? Especially Hawaii is sort of even you kind of get adopted into the big family, even if it's not by blood, right? It's just
Yes.
simply by affiliation because the fiestas
Everyone's
and
an
the
auntie,
parties.
everyone's an uncle, every yes.
Exactly. And I was like, I'd have these little kids coming up and saying like Auntie Mary Kate. I'm like, wait, who do you belong to? Like, I don't. Like my students
Yes.
have kids. I'm like, who's your mother? So that again, just like that cultural difference between Hawaii and then it was absolutely with California as well. Super interesting. And then I know you said with that tomboy influence that I'm sure would help you, but I would love to hear about why the army, especially because you didn't have the military influences. It wasn't like your dad was army or anything. Like I've had guests on the show say it was like literally a billboard, and I'm like, effective recruiting or a commercial, Top Gun maybe for Navy, but what was it for the Army, especially the year that you joined?
I love that you asked that question right now because there's a story behind this, why
Okay,
it's
I'm
the
excited.
Army. The Marine Corps was my first choice. I went into the Marine Corps recruiting office there in Honolulu. The recruiter was sitting there asking me questions, what kind of job I wanted to do. And I was like, oh, I want to be a military police officer. And so he asked me some questions. I was real small. I'm only 5'1", okay, on a
No
good
way.
day. So I'm really short. And at the time I was really tiny. I only probably weighed about 115 pounds. So his question to me was, how would you be able to subdue or like arrest, I for lack of better word, a drunken 200-pound male, on base. And I can't remember my response to that, unfortunately. But he was asking me these certain questions, and then he said, well, we do have a height requirement. So in the back room, we have a bar We'll just have you hang from the bar, and just hang there as long as you can, and then we'll remeasure you. And again, I'm
Gotta
barely,
stretch you
you
out
know.
like Willy Wonka, Laffy Taffy.
So I'm sitting there and I'm hanging from this bar, like it's gonna make me taller, right? For the measurement. I was their joke for the day because afterwards I came out. Of course, there's no change in my height whatsoever. So that kind of, you know, bruised my feelings a little bit. And I left the recruiting office, and then I ended up right like a couple doors down was the Army recruiting. And I went in there and they were like, "Oh, come on in here, sign here on the dotted line. Let's get you to MEPS. Let's get you go take your ASVAB test." And I was in the Army. That's how quickly it worked.
No way, like that same day.
It wasn't exactly that same day,
Was
but
like,
it was
"Lord,
just
what
like
year was this?" No,
rerolling.
the Marine Corps. I mean, gosh, shame on the Marines for doing that. But you know, they're famous for having that pull-up bar all over the place when they do recruiting, but the fact about trying to stretch you out
Stretch me,
is sort of
yes. So it was a
strict.
joke. I didn't get it at the time, but now that I look
No.
back on it, I was like, ah, they were playing with me. So.
Oh, wait, but I'm so glad, of course, that you ended up in the Army and that you didn't let that deter you from joining and wanting to serve. Again, that's what they say is kind of innately in our DNA of that service above self and just wanting to serve in whatever capacity, because there's room enough for each of us to take part in the fight somehow. So when you walked into the Army recruiters, like what was on the table? Because I can tell you, like on the table for me, they were like, cook, and I was like, nope, I can't cook. You a driver, and I was like, oh, I don't know about driving, and like mechanic. Well, I don't really know anything about all that stuff. So, you know, I ended up with medic, but I would love to hear what some of the options were for you, what you were thinking at that time.
So when I actually joined, it was during the holiday season, and you know, of course, so you know, Army headquarters there in Washington, D.C., they all shut down early or what have you. So when I went into MEPS, I got the same. You could be a cook, you could be a mechanic, and I think maybe driver, right? And then they came with personnel, and so I was like, oh, so my recruiter was there and he was like, you know, you don't want to do mechanic. 'Cause I was like, oh, I'm going to go do mechanic. He's like, no, you don't want that. You don't want that. Go with personnel. And so I went with personnel and I came in as a 75 Echo was personnel specialist back in the day.
Now, is I'm wondering, is that similar to the 42 Alpha admin, or is it was it similar as it is now, or what was sort of the kind of the tasks at hand that they wanted you to do?
So absolutely sim very similar. They're exactly the same. 75 Echoes did convert over into 42 Alphas. So that, yeah, so I started out as a 75 Echo personnel specialist, and then transitioned into the 42 Alpha human resource specialist.
Mad respect, because I don't know how you all do it. I still get confused at all the boxes and the numbers. Like you have to be so meticulous with things, and I feel like I always 9 times out of 10 will get some form kickback because something is wrong on it. And I'm like, I don't know how these 42 stare at this all day. But no, as far as you know, I'd love to again to hear about the dynamic. So at this point, like early on in your career, were we still not married, no kids, or you living your best life, first duty station. Tell me about that.
I came in the Army in 1993,
No
and
way.
so my very first assignment was Fort Bragg, now known as Fort Liberty, there in North Carolina. And so as soon as I got there to Fort Bragg and I'm in the reception station, they gave us the opportunity, how many of you guys want to go airborne? And so a lot of people raised their hand. They got sent off to airborne school. I just wanted to get to my first unit. I wanted to get settled in. I wanted to just like start being a soldier. So I didn't raise my hand. And sometimes I look back and wish that I did, because I would have loved to have been jumping from planes while serving.
Lori, I'm telling you, you would have just gotten shorter. I mean, you thought it was bad walking the Marine Corps station. I was like, I think I've lost like an inch and a half from
Oh, you jumped? You were a
Yes,
jumper?
I did. Yes, but
Oh.
I think I've definitely, I was 5'5" on a good day too, and I somehow between the rucking and airborne, I don't know, I think I've lost an inch.
Oh,
So
wow. Well, I did actually do a jump. I did a tandem jump,
oh,
well, I
good.
was active duty. I went and did a
I
tandem
wish I had
jump.
that option.
So
Oh no, but I love that what you said about just getting started and just going for it, because it people sort of don't think about that. They think that we go to the recruit station and it is that first day you sign in and it's as easy as that and you get shipped off. But especially depending on if we're a time of wartime peace, of course that changes. But it really is a long process, and like the time you've gone through basic and your advanced training, and you're like, I'm just ready. Like
yes.
let's go, let's start. It's already been a year, so. No, I absolutely get that. What were some of, I guess, your favorite locations? I cannot, I won't believe it if you tell me Fayetteville, North Carolina, but you'll have to sell me on that if you tell me that that was your favorite duty station.
It wasn't my favorite, but I'm very honored to have been stationed there. I feel like that set the precedence for the rest of my military career and what was expected of me because of what's there at Fort Bragg or Fort Liberty. You got Delta Force, you got Special Forces, it was just like the cream of the crop were at Fort Bragg. And even though I wasn't airborne, I did wear a beret because I belonged to an airborne unit when I was assigned there.
Ah,
So I
right.
still wore, the Class A uniform with the jump boots and the I had a maroon beret. At the time it was a maroon beret. So I looked the part. I just didn't jump. And so it wasn't my favorite. And my military career, I can't say I had one bad assignment. I went from the
Lucky.
East Coast to the West Coast. I was stationed in Germany. I was stationed in Hawaii. I did a lot of great exercises or missions, I should say. I never saw combat, but I was in Bogota, Colombia. I was in Macedonia, Thailand on different, mini assignments. And but I finished my career at Southcom. So,
Oh wow.
United States Southern Command, there in Miami, Florida.
That's wonderful. And do you speak any other languages? Did the Army train you in a language?
No, English is my only spoken language.
Okay, same here. I try to dabble in others, but unsuccessfully, maybe to kindergartners. And I still think they run circles around me. But no, I mean, you're making it sound like I chose the wrong MOS. And like, and I honestly feel like, as far as the travel goes, that you wouldn't have gotten that same in the Marine Corps. I mean, I know the Marines travel too, but I feel like just from some of those exotic locations that you mentioned, that you, I think that it was meant to be, so to speak,
Yes, it
right?
was. It was. I just love sharing that story about how I wanted to be a Marine because they got the best uniforms and,
They do. Still, they do. Yes.
so the Marines will
Great.
always be my favorite branch of our brothers and sisters in arms. But I am very, honored to have served in the Army.
No, and I mean, you're even wearing red today. I know we're wearing
Yes.
red and it is Friday. So, depending on this episode airs or when our listeners are tuning in, just remembering all those deployed. So it's just one of the things that I'd love to hear about is about how long you served and sort of that point in your career where you were like, this is it.
So I served a total of, I think it was almost 12 years. So I got to the halfway mark. I was in stationed in Miami at the time. I wasn't married at the time, but we were going to get married, and we didn't want two green suitors to start a family. So I went ahead and I said, "Well, I'm at my halfway mark, so I'll get out, and then I can always come back in after I have kids." So that was initially my plan was to come back in, but once I got promoted to mom, that has been the best role I have ever had. And so I never did come back in, but I still serve, I'm still serving my community. So I during the service, serving those 11 years, I learned a lot about myself. We grow up. I grew up in the military. The military, was my extended, I guess, parenting unit. They taught me responsibility, how to have accountability for our own actions, our choices, decisions, etc. So I give a lot of credit to the Army for molding me who I am today. So I've had failed marriages. I'm one of those that married and been divorced. So I'm now a single parent and I'm rocking it. I am rocking it. So.
Good for you. It's like and I love what you said. I was sort of was getting goosebumps. I do not have children of my own, but the fact that you said about your promotion to mom, because I have so many girlfriends who are stay-at-home moms or were stay-at-home moms for many years, and they're trying to step back in the workforce, and they're like, Kate, I've been a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, or like I don't know how to do this. And I was like, are you kidding me? You got the toughest job in the world, 24/7, like keeping these little humans alive. And just so much respect
Yes.
for moms. And of course the green suiters, those who are still serving, who are mothers, hats off to them that they were able to manage that too. But I know it looks different for every family, and kudos to you. And I appreciate you sharing that, because it does change, and there is a whole transition piece that we continue to go through. And sort of that segues into really one of the things that I love about Veteran Voices is being able to talk about the transition journey, because it does look different for everybody. And you mentioned Fayetteville, and like you're with the Deltas and Special Forces, and there's like this sense of badassery, right? When we're
Yes, yeah.
there, and you're literally, I remember driving home one day from Fort Liberty, and a helicopter was literally hovering down the street alongside of me. Like I could see in the window and like wave to the pilots, and the fact that they were just hovering, it's like you feel like you're in a video game. And then to go from that to a completely different world, like whether that's parenthood, whether it's just being a civilian, just navigating that. So I'd love to hear about what the transition was like for you at 12 years, and advice that you would have for those going through the transition right now.
So when I transitioned out, it was back in the year of 2004. I pretty much got handed my DD-214 and I was shown the door. There was not a lot of organizations that we see out there now, like Hiring Our Heroes, ACP, Vets to Industry, the Key Community. There weren't these organizations out there looking for us that were transitioning out, to kind of grab us and be our sponsor back into the civilian life. I felt like I was going to land a job easily. I had 11 years of honorable military service in human resources. For sure, I thought I was going to land a job. I couldn't get a job at Walmart. I didn't know how to fill out applications correctly. I didn't really know how to write a resume. And I was really got out thinking, well, I'm a veteran. Of course, they're going to hire me. And so, reality slapped me in the face to where I couldn't find a job, not even so much as being a cashier somewhere. Eventually, I did. Luckily, when we got to his duty station and I was a military spouse, I applied for a role in the federal government. And, work that role for a short period. So the transition was kind of tough. It was kind of tough.
You know, I just want to go back a little bit about what you said, how it was 2004, and just, for people to think
Oh my
about what
gosh,
was
that was
going on
almost
in our
20
country.
years. That was
But
almost 20 years.
give me goosebumps right now. Like 20, but that wasn't even like the thing that I was highlighting. It was like the fact that it was 2004. I mean, we're talking about like 2001 happened, September
Yes.
11th. And then you're making that decision to transition just a couple years later, especially when the war had just, the war started. So did that play a part at all, do you think, in just not having the things available? They weren't really thinking about those who are getting out because they're thinking about those they're sending over. What are your thoughts on that?
So, I don't know that it's just that they weren't thinking about those that were transitioning out, but you're right. There was a lot going on in our world. That's when deployment started, just started up, you know, when I was getting out the, so, I just don't think they had those things set in place as I was transitioning out. And it was pretty much our, you know, wave of transitions throughout the years that created all these other programs saying, hey, our veterans are getting out. They're not finding jobs. They're losing their homes. They're becoming homeless, and they don't have the education background to compete with the civilian private sector job seekers. Like when I got out, I had that 11 years of HR experience, but I didn't have education to back it up. I had Army human, military human resources, but I didn't have what the private sector was looking for. They wanted compensation and benefits, payroll. But we had specific departments in the military that covered those areas for us. So I pretty much got out as a glorified admin clerk, is pretty much what I was, you know, equivalent to without an education.
And and it's even looking now, I mean, we say we've come such a long way in 20 years, but it seems like a lot of those organizations you just mentioned have only started existing in the last 5 years, right? So it's like we talk about how much we've grown in 20 years, but even the certifications and like having things like the DoD's SkillBridge program and the pool program for credentialing opportunities and professional certifications and for them and their spouses and the military family. So a great opportunity for us to talk about the key and to talk about some of the incredible organizations that you've worked with. And I guess this would be a great time too to add about what you benefited from these organizations, how you got started and what they do.
So I really find it very important to volunteer. So I started out volunteering with an organization called The Mission Continues. The Mission Continues is nationwide. Just about every large city is going to have a platoon. And they're veterans that are out there in their community making a difference. So I started doing service projects here with the platoon here in San Antonio. And
Great.
so, you know, those will roll around.
I just got accepted into Mission Continues.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So,
So yeah, again, it was all like word of mouth, right, from veteran sisters that are like, you got to do this.
yes.
And that's how we find out.
Did you get into the leadership program or?
Yes. So, yep. Yes.
Well, congratulations. I
Join in.
haven't d done that yet.
So
So,
that would be, gosh. Apply. Yeah,
this.
think about that for women, right? It's just that not having that opportunity to surround ourselves with many other women. A lot of times we're the only woman in the room, or there might be one other woman, but I think this will be great.
Yeah, and mass deployment will be here in San Antonio in June of 2024. So
Fantastic.
every year there's a mass deployment somewhere in the nation where they bring about 80 folks from the con Mission Continues to work on a project, and it's going to actually be here in San Antonio. So I'm super excited about
Wonderful.
that. So yeah, with the Mission Continues, that I really believe in giving back.
Yes.
Excuse me. Sorry, got one of those little tickles. So even on a small scale, you know, it's all about making change and making change in the community. So with that, I just want to share a little bit of personal story too,
Absolutely.
is after my divorce and becoming a single parent, unemployed at the time with a 2-year-old. She was only 2 at the time. I decided to go back to school. And so I said, well, I got to make myself, because now I'm going back into the workforce since being home as a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home wife, I needed to make myself more marketable. So I decided to finish my degree, and I went through Grand Canyon University, which allowed me to do it remotely. And so I was going to school full time. I was unemployed, But I ended up finding a job, and that was with the Texas Veterans Commission for the state of Texas.
Wonderful.
And so I was working full time, working on my degree as a single parent of a small child. And so all those nights that I would tell her when she'd be like, "Mommy, come play, mommy, come play." And I'd be like, "Oh, not right now, honey. Mommy's got to do homework." Or I would find 5 minutes to sit down, do a puzzle or color with her, because she is the most important thing in my life. But I also, a lot of weekends were spent doing homework, working on papers. So when it was time for me to get my degree, I had the option of having them send it to me, which I would have been fine with. Just mail it to me. I'll put it in a frame, put it on my wall. But it was really important for me to fly my daughter to Arizona, where this campus is, so she could watch me walk across the stage in cap and gown to see. I'm so sorry for this.
Go.
And so it was important for her to watch me walk across the stage in cap and gown to see all those weekends that I told her we couldn't go to SeaWorld, we couldn't go to the movies, mommy had homework. I wanted her to see why and why I did what I did. And so but during the time that I was unemployed, I had to dig through coin jars just to get quarters, to go get a quarter gallon, half gallon of milk from the, corner market. That takes a lot, to dig down in. It's a huge pill to swallow, but you do what you have to do as a parent, to make sure. So even though times were tough, I showed her, or tried to instill in her that we still got to dig deep and keep fighting, just stay in the fight. And so fast forward, here I am. I've been with the state, working for the state for the almost 10 years now. I get involved in the community. I do a lot of volunteer. My daughter comes out and does a lot of projects with the Mission Continues. So she's
I
out
love
there
that.
learning the value of volunteering. This weekend, we're volunteering with the rodeo here in San Antonio again. I volunteer with the Mill City Meetup. This is their 5th year in operation. It was founded by four individuals: Chuck Bunch, Quincy Harper, and the two powerhouses behind it is Ray and Sam Domingo. Ray's an Air Force veteran. Samantha, she is the military spouse. But they saw the importance of networking, and so they built Mill City Meetup. It happens once a month here in San Antonio and gives a foundation for people to start networking. So I started volunteering with them, and I kind of am their volunteer manager, getting volunteers to help assist and set up the event. During the pandemic, Ray and Sam Domingo created the KEY community. The KEY community, KEY stands for Keep Elevating Yourself. And during the pandemic, that's what we all needed, right? We were all closed down, shut down. Everybody was sent home. People were losing jobs left and right. So they found it, they wanted to bring something virtual. So they started the KEY community. Well, now, so during the pandemic, when we all really needed to feel a connection, that's when they created the KEY community. And the events were done virtually, throughout most of the years during COVID. Well, now that we're all back in person, the KEY community is starting to have in-person events. And so anyone that's in the KEY community is not just military focused. It's open to everybody, because our community, it's our neighbors, it's the people at the grocery store, it's the people at our gym, at our churches, it's
I love that
everybody
so
in our
much.
community. So that's why the key was created, and it's a community within itself. And so if you haven't checked out the Key community, I strongly advise you go into your search, your browser, type in the Key community, thekeycommunity.org, and check out and see what they're building.
No, it's wonderful. And I remember when they were kickstarting it, and it was at a time where I really felt like I was going through the transition myself. And during the pandemic, because I transitioned off active duty in 2021 out of
Oh,
Fayetteville, North
wow.
Carolina. And so I was a lot of things were shut down, and people in my unit were getting COVID. So a lot of things were social distance, and we were having to do it from home. And I navigating the remote world, the virtual world, to try to find these resources was really challenging for me, especially when I was sort of programmed to say, don't put so much about yourself on the internet. And instead, like when you're transitioning, employers don't want to hire a fake person. Like they got to know you're real. So to know you're real, you got to start putting more about yourself, even if it's
Yes.
on places like LinkedIn. And I think we sort of take for granted how hard that is for somebody who has served in the military to talk about themselves, because we that's that part of us is sort of stripped at basic training, right? To say it's not about you anymore, it's about the we, about the team. And now you're in the military, and it's about the team. But then when you're transitioning out, it's back to we again, or me again. You know, it's back to the individual person, and that's hard. And so the community, seeing what you all have been doing, has been absolutely incredible. And the amount of people that you have helped, both the service member, their family, but even beyond that, like you said. So, and if any time that we learned that we needed a community, it was during the pandemic. We sort of realized that
Yes.
even that cranky neighbor we didn't like before, we like, I actually missed that guy, you know, like,
Yes. Yeah.
so no, I love that. And I'd love to hear about how folks can get, you said to the Keys organization, but is there any way, as far as, like you said, Texas as well has a huge support group out there for the military and their families, how they can reach out, how they can get involved, or where is the help needed for our listeners?
So for listeners, depending on what they're looking for, right? What they need help with. If it's you want to connect, just virtually building your network, check out thekeycommunity.org because the Key community is global. So but specific to Texas, or I don't want to say just to Texas because listeners can be listening in from anywhere, is reach out to the Mission Continues. Google Mission Continues. See if there's a platoon there near your city and get involved that way. Start building your network. Definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm out there on LinkedIn,
Yes, you
so
are.
just if I don't get to your connection request right away, don't fret. I will get to it. And if you want to connect virtually with folks like on LinkedIn, definitely send a message when you're trying to connect, like, hey, looking to build my network. Yeah, that's all you need to say. Because if I have to go in and research why Mary wants to connect with me, and I don't see how you're affiliated with the military or how you're affiliated as someone like a recruiter or something in my interests, then I may overlook you as a connection request. So definitely send us just a simple little note when you're trying to connect with people.
Great advice. And great advice. And again, for our listeners, this is Laurie, Laurie Pimentel Johnson. So look her up, definitely connect with Laurie online on LinkedIn and those incredible organizations like the Key Community, Mission Continues. And I love that you said Mission Continues has platoons. So they're sort of keeping some of that same lingo in there that we're so used to and familiar with. But it's really, we both get how challenging it is to put yourself out there. And my mentors jokingly say, even from vets industry, about how I didn't have a last name when I first put it on the LinkedIn. I was just Mary S. So I didn't even have Mary Kate on there. So it's, you know, I feel like I've come such a long way, but the transition looks different for everybody. Lori, thank you so much for sharing that. Besides LinkedIn, is there any last remarks you'd like to make about folks reaching out to you, or some of the things that you're doing now that you could support them with, whether that's resume, help putting their LinkedIn together, anything like
Yes,
that.
most definitely. So, definitely reach out to me on LinkedIn. If you want assistance, reach out to me there. You can also email me at the Key Community. And so, unfortunately, my ad email address is really long. So it is lpimenteljohnson@thekeycommunity.org. And I can spell that phonetically if someone wants to jot it down. It's Lima Papa India Mike Echo November Tango Echo Lima Juliet Oscar Hotel November Sierra Oscar November at thekeycommunity.org. Sorry, I had to
Well
spell it
done.
out.
Well done.
Some
I was
people
like,
do,
is she
you
gonna
know.
remember all these letters? Good for you, Lori.
I do because I'm always having to spell my last name, so I'm always spelling it phonetically.
You start people sit here saying C for cat.
Yeah, but you mentioned Vets to Industry, so yes, go Vets to Industry always has a virtual event. Attending these virtual events, you know, I pop onto those. Alfredo's Coffee House. It
Oh, on
happens every
Sundays.
Sunday.
With
Alfredo's
Hope
Coffee
White.
House. Yes, Hope White and Alfredo Torres. It's his coffee house. But that there is like a unfiltered space. It is a safe space. We're in there talking about anything from transition to just things going on in life, you know.
Yes.
So you just come as you are to these events. But yeah, usually on Sundays, when my time and my schedule permits, I'm in there in Alfredo's coffee house, hanging out with them, laughing and, you know, sometimes crying. But isn't that what our support is all about? And I've never met
Yes.
these people. Most of them I've never met in person, but there's a connection there. They're friends. They're my safe space when I go into that.
I love that you mentioned that because it's so important. I feel like the majority of my mentors I haven't actually met in person, but I trust them so much. There's so much that I've been able to laugh with them and cry with them and be able to talk to them in at all, you know, different hours of the day. They drop what they're doing to just help, or even ra the random check-ins to say like, "How's your family doing? How are you doing?"
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, the how are you is met with tears that I can't believe you just messaged me now because I'm having the worst day. So, you know, and sometimes the timing by design. So I really love that, Lori. Thank you so much for coming on Veteran Voices. It's
I
been
do
such a
have one
pleasure.
last thing I want to
Yeah,
say
absolutely.
to any transitioning service member right now and their military spouses, dependents. You guys are getting ready to transition. You need to start building your network now. Don't wait until after you get out. Start building that network now so that you have a nice foundation. So when you actually do transition out, you're getting that guidance and that building those relationships of those that can help you navigate the transition process. It's transitioning is not always smooth. You hear those
No.
stories of like, man, I got out. I landed $180,000 a year
Yes.
job just like that. And you're
One
like,
in a million.
yeah, okay. The truth and the ugly. Let's talk about the ugly truth about transitioning and how tough it can be. So definitely reach out to me. I'm always happy to assist, whether that's federal resumes, helping you guys, you know, navigate that process, converting your civilian resume into civilian terminology, you know, talking the private sector lingo. Anything that I know, I'm happy to share and happy to help. And services are absolutely $0, 99 free.
Running that free. Thank you so much. And I love again to circle back about what you said about volunteering, because don't wait to start your network now if you're still serving, still in uniform, but also you can volunteer now for many of these organizations that we listed, or just pop in, even if you can only spare 5 minutes to just, I guarantee you're going to want to stay longer
Just
and you want to keep going
show
back. Just
up.
show up. Just
Yes.
show up and circle back and see. Look at the great things. Your daughter's right there alongside of you, volunteering with Mission Continues. I just love that piece. And thank you again for being vulnerable and sharing that story, your story of motherhood, of being a single mother and a veteran, and just the power of your story, I'm sure, is going to touch many of our listeners who are tuned in today. Thank you, Lori, again. For our listeners, thank you. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Reach out to Lori, rewind, listen again. Lots of golden nuggets to take away from this episode. And again, Veteran Voices is part of the Supply Chain Now family of podcasts and programming. And you can get our episodes wherever you get your podcasts from. And as we love to say, do good, pay it forward, and be the change that's needed. And as Lori says, just show up. So that's all you got to do. Folks, it's been a pleasure. I'm Mary Kate Saliva, your host of Veteran Voices, and we hope to see you next time. Take care.